Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your Pressure BioSciences second quarter 2019 financial results conference call. All lines have been placed in a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions and comments following the presentation. If you should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to Rick Schumacher. Sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Christy, and thanks everyone for joining us for the second quarter 2019, financial conference call. I'd like to read this cautionary statement to begin. The following remarks may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from any future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Such factors include, among others, those detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We expressly disclaim any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statements to reflect any change in our expectations or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances on which such statement is based. As we begin, I want to say that I'm pleased to mention to everybody on the call that our company's Chairman of the Board, Jeff Peterson, is with us and is going to join us for the call and stay for the Q&A. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you very much. Look forward to chatting with everybody.
Jeff is calling in from the Palo Alto area. I'm calling in from Boston, so we're bookends here. He is involved with two privately held development stage life science companies. He also chairs another publicly traded company. A lot of great experience in Jeff, and he's also a superb engineer, chemical engineer, so he actually helps us in other ways too, besides being our chairman. The agenda today is I'm going to briefly go over the second quarter financials. I'm going to talk about some business updates, a couple of things that have happened recently that were not in the press release that I will talk about. We're going to open up the floor for the Q&A. I will mention that the 10-Q, I apologize that it was filed at 3:33. Nothing magic about that, but it was filed at 3:33 today. Unfortunately, the chief staff accountant from our auditing firm that was doing the review had a family emergency on Tuesday night, and he left and was not available Tuesday night or Wednesday. The amount of work he was doing had to be taken by others. It got done, but they had to pitch in and get it done today, yesterday and today, and we were filed. The Q is filed. We had to file an extension even though it wasn't even out for a day, but that's the way it goes. That's the reason it was late. It was late because of an unexpected, unavoidable family emergency for the guy that was doing a lot of the review of the numbers at the most crucial time. Everybody should have that now. Looking at the finances again, you have the press release, and you all have the Q now. I will briefly go through it, and then during the Q&A, happy to address anything that someone has for questions or comments. Looking at second quarter 2019 versus second quarter 2018, total revenue for 2019 second quarter, $518,700 compared to $638,800 for the same period last year. This is a 19% decrease. Products and services revenue in that number was $518,700 compared to $618,400 for the same quarter, a 16% decrease. Products and services were down about 16% overall. Instrument sales were down more. They were down from $397,000 down to $247,000. Consumables, on the other hand, were up to an all-time record. Consumables ended up at $91,400, which is, as I said, an all-time quarterly record, compared to $64,100, which is an increase of 43%. We continue to see consumables even over the summer months coming in well. as everyone knows, we've got three technology platforms, the pressure cycling, where all of these instruments are being sold from, and then we have our BaroFold, which we purchased 2 years ago, and which is a more of a service right now, but should lead to sales of instruments down the road. And then we have our UltraShear technology. So our BaroFold contract services, we hung our shingle in January. Last year, we had one small company in from Korea. We did some work. We had about $50,000, I believe, in revenue for the year. But we spent a year getting ready, understanding it. We hung our shingle in January, announced it January 2019, and in the second quarter, we signed a very important, very large, at least market cap-wise, $6 billion company, international company, that wanted to use our services for a number of reasons. And we figure it's definitely a six-figure contract. Any contract in this area could end up being seven figures. That's what's exciting about it, because we do a number of things using pressure. And to help our friends that are developing protein-based drugs get the drug to market, save money while they're manufacturing it, improve the quality, a number of things that pressure can do. So we signed this group. I'm happy to announce that we've actually signed a second multi-billion dollar group. I signed it today, so it is very topical. So we have a second company, and we hung our shingle, but we're not advertising. This is all from word of mouth. This is from people finding out that we own the BaroFold patents and are coming to us. So each contract we sign, I believe, will be in the $100,000 to $999,000 range value to us. And some of them, if we go with these companies all the way to when they go through FDA and get to market, could certainly get into the seven figures. So it's extremely exciting for us to have these two companies. We learned a lot from the company last year, and now this year we've got two really terrific companies that are going to be using our services. So that the BaroFold services were at $69,700 this year in the second quarter compared to $52,000 for the same period last year. So it's certainly up 32%. But I think we'll continue to see that because I just mentioned that we've signed another billion-dollar company. And it doesn't matter if they're a billion-dollar company or a million-dollar company. They're going to be charged the same, and we're going to make money on providing these services. Our third technology platform is an UltraShear. Those contract services reached $41,400 in Q2 compared to $14,000 in the second quarter of 2018. So that was quite a large increase. Not a huge dollar amount, but quite a large increase. We had no grant revenue. The grant ended in November 2018, and so $20,000 of grant from last year we did not have. Operating loss increased significantly for the second quarter, primarily two reasons. One is that we've had unbilled fees from the failed S-1 uplisting that we had hoped against hope over the last year that we would be able to get another financing done. We're still looking forward to moving up to NASDAQ, but since it's not in the very near future, the accountants said we have to write it off, we have to expense it. And so we had to expense between $150,000 and $200,000 of expenses for the failed financing of August of 2017. And we also had non-cash stock option expenses relating to renewed vesting of stock options that we repriced last year of about $230,000. So almost all of that increase came from a couple of items that are either short-term or only going to happen once, and that makes up the difference of the delta between the two. Loss per share was $2.22 compared to $9.20 last year. Looking at the first half of 2019 compared to the first half of 2018, revenue was $1,028,900 compared to $1,249,500, a decrease of $220,000 or 18%. So again, first and second quarter were both down about 18%, 17 to 19% in our total revenue, and both of them were down in lower instrument sales. We can talk about that in just a few minutes, but our instrument sales were lower. But, of course, our BaroFold and UST sales were higher to help make up some of that difference. We believe that the total revenue for the remaining half of this year is going to come back. We have very good indications already. We are just through the first half of the quarter, and it's the summer months, which are really pretty slow for us. We're already past halfway to where we were last year for the whole quarter, and that bodes well. And we have a number of projects that we're looking at closing between now and the end of September. So we feel pretty confident that our instrument sales were a two-quarter issue, and that we've corrected that. A lot of that, as I said in the press release, was due to the fact that we had to pull people away to work on the bearer shear, the UST, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, and that really adversely affected us. But we had to choose what's more important. And clearly, I think we'll all find out shortly that the bearer shear is extremely important to this company. This is our CBD instrument, makes nanoemulsions of CBD oil. So product and services decreased from $1.2 million down to $1 million in the first half of the year, about 15%. And when we compare the first half instrument sales, they were down decidedly between both the first and second quarter. But consumable sales, on the other hand, were up from 138,000 to 153,000. So that somewhat mitigated that effect. Barrelfold contract services for the first half of the year were at 220,800, a very good number, having just put our shingle up. And this second company we just signed haven't started with them yet. And that compares to 52,000. And Ultra Shear Technology Services were at 128,000 for the first half of this year versus 14,000 last year. So again, some of the loss that we have from the lack of instrument is being picked up. Our goal as a company is to not lose the momentum we have in Barrelfold and Ultra Shear, but keep it going, but to get back, and I believe we are, the sales and the instrument side of the business. The operating loss was again quite high, and most of that falls into the second quarter, and most of it falls into two areas, which amounts to the majority of it. In addition to, we hired, as everybody knows, the chief commercial officer, and that went into that bucket, as well as travel and some additional investor and public relations services. But mostly it was non-stack cash compensation and fees for fundraising back in 2017. Loss per common share was $4.24 for the half year compared to $11 last year. So at this point, what I'd like to do is talk about three things that, in addition to, so there's really four, I've already let the cat out of the bag on the fact that we've signed another Barrelfold customer. And I should also say, and it was in a press release a month ago, I think, that we're in discussions with several more, and the ones we're in discussion with are household names. So it's terrific to have a very well-funded, multi-billion-dollar household name companies come to us because they think we can help them in our Barrelfold services. But there, in addition to signing that second company, there's three other newsworthy items I want to talk about, and then I want to briefly talk about the ones that are in the press release, because I think it bodes very well for the company, sets a great table for us for the rest of this year and next year. But these three things. First of all, what I want to announce now is that Dr. Brad Young, who joined us last year as our chief commercial officer, has left the company just the week before last, and he left to pursue another opportunity. And I'd like to turn it over to Jeff to just mention this, talk about this briefly. Jeff goes back many years with Brad and was instrumental in helping to bring him on. Jeff?
Sure. Thanks, Rick. And hello, everybody. As Rick said, I've known Brad Young for quite a number of years, and the better I got to know him, the more I appreciated and respected the breadth of his capabilities, both scientifically and business-wise. And we were delighted to have him join our team. Brad is a biotech guy through and through, from biopharm to diagnostics, even to the nutritional side, and he received a very exciting opportunity for the startup of a new biopharm play. It is something we did not want to see happen, but understand Brad's motivations. You know, this kind of supportive instrumentation and device arena was a step outside of his traditional areas of focus, so we understand it, although regret to have seen him go. Other comment I'll just add to something Rick was commenting on earlier, just so I can make the emphasis. When you were talking about the BaroShear and our UltraShear technology, you know, Rick commented on its application to CBD, and I would just emphasize this, in our minds, is a vast-ranging technology across many different areas of, you know, food and nutritionals and many other product areas. CBD is the area we selected for sort of our entry vehicle, and we're very excited, and Rick will talk some more about that. But I just wanted to emphasize the enormous breadth and opportunity that we see associated with UST. Back to you, Rick.
All right, Jeff, thanks. The third newsworthy item that is just being released right now is, but it's not yet complete. I'd hope to have it. I hope that it would have been complete by tonight, but we're very close. Everybody knows that that our CFO Joe left in February, and I've been wearing that interim CFO hat in addition to my CEO and COO hats, and it's. You know, it's taking a toll on me in terms of the time I have, and particularly frustrating for me because I'm about as excited as I've been about anything in the last business-wise, anything, otherwise my wife will kill me, for the last 25 years when we talk about BaroShear, and it frustrates me that I spend, you know, the last 2 weeks doing a lot for on the CFO end, on the a lot on the review end, the second quarter review end. And so we've been looking for someone. We want to bring somebody in part-time, maybe 20 hours a week. We've talked to a number of people, narrowed it down to one person with a stellar resume. He's local. For me, it's very important to have somebody that can be here. There's so much more, especially in this area of the numbers. There's so many things that you want to just sit down and hammer out together, and not on the phone, but eyeball to eyeball. And we do have a local person who is got a stellar record, a stellar CV, and I think we're very close. He and I have been talking, and we're very close. So you know, fingers crossed that we can get across that chasm, and but it's a small one, and maybe have some news, but it's. The important thing is that we do need to bring in somebody that can do this job and free me up to do what I do better than wearing a CFO hat and be more in tune with our auditors so that we don't run to the very end where if somebody gets sick, it might push us back a day over. So the fourth thing is in BaroShear. We're going to talk about that in a second. In terms of what I put in the press release today, but you know, this is our new instrument, the BaroShear K45, and what I said when we released it is that we're going to make 12 instruments. 12 instruments on a first run is a lot larger number than we've ever done. We've made five or six new instruments here at PBIO, and we normally make three or four. But because of the demand, expected and felt demand, because of the impact it can have on the company, we decided we'd actually bring that up to a more reasonable number. So we're going to make 12. And all those 12, I said we're going to put for sale at least 10, maybe 11. And then that was about 2 months ago. That was at the end of, 6 weeks ago. We announced it, and then it took us about 2 weeks to pull all the paperwork together, the specification sheet and things like that. And then we went out, and we being me, went out and we started to make phone calls. And sure enough, we were able to, within a week or two, get a confirmed PO for the first system. And And then just yesterday and today, in between everything else, I've gotten two more purchase orders. So we've now sold three of our systems. And what's exciting about one of the three, the one that came in last night, is the person we're buying it from. We normally ask for 20% down and then 20% in 60 days, and then the rest has to come before we ship because it's a 6 to 8 month. We're building this instrument. And there's some pushback there. It's tough to people to put 40% down on a machine that's not even built. But we're getting through. But yesterday was a bit different because the gentleman I talked to said, if you can give me 45 days, I'll pay you the whole amount. I went, done deal. So very excited to say that three of the 10 or three of the 11 are now spoken for. And in the phone calls I've made, I'm pretty optimistic that the next week and the week after, where I don't have to wear much of a CFO hat and I can be a sales guy again for the bearish year, I'm very excited about it because I've got 30 people that I've been in touch with. 10 or 15 have received information, specification sheet, et cetera, and they're all on my agenda for next week. So let's talk briefly about the operational highlights. I don't want to make this too long, and then let's open it up for questions. But these are very exciting highlights. I mean, I'll be the first to admit I'm very disappointed that after 10 or 11, no, it was 12 consecutive quarters where we beat the previous year same quarter, that we missed it two quarters in a row. We missed it on instrument sales. That disappoints me greatly. It gets me very frustrated and upset. Making it up somewhat with others is okay, but we need to fix the problem, and we're fixing the problem. And right now, as I said, we've got our eyes set on a very good third quarter. And that good third quarter includes many more instruments than we sold in either the first or second. In fact, our goal is to sell more instruments in the third quarter than we did in the first and second combined. And I feel very optimistic that we're getting good feedback now in the third quarter, and yet we're still getting great feedback on Barrelfold and Ultra Shear. Now, let's talk about the launch of the Ultra Shear based equipment called the BaroShear K45. So we released a short video during the quarter that shows it. If you haven't seen it, please go on our website. It shows how we can take oil and make it using Mother Nature so that it will go and disperse into water and disappear. And this is a major problem, and it's a critical problem, not even major, it's critical in the CBD area, in that CBD comes out of the plant in an oil, and oil and water don't mix, and so many products on the market right now are not what we call nano emulsions. They're not nano size, tiny, everyone hears the word nano, tiny size. They're not tiny size, and that means that they're not going to be very water soluble, which means that the absorption is going to be poor. And so when someone tries some of the products on the market, there's a very good chance that they're only going to get, in fact, a World Health Organization study I just saw a couple weeks ago said less than 10%, and I've seen that number a lot. So how do you get absorption from less than 10% to closing in on 90 to 100%? One way for sure, as scientists that we know, is turn the oil and water into a nano emulsion. Break the oil down to a tiny, tiny size, so it's small enough that it can be the material, the nutrient in the oil can be easily absorbed, and also that it is more bioavailable, that the material is more available. We know that making a nano emulsion. There are groups all over the world now trying to make nano emulsions, and a lot of them are using methods that I don't think the industry is going to accept in the long run, or the consumer. They're adding a lot of chemicals. They're modifying the CBD. They're encapsulating the CBD. They're doing all kinds of things to try to make it more absorbable. We use pressure and cutting or shear. We are experts in pressure. We put it under pressure. It reduces a lot of the bacteria load. We release it under pressure through a patented valve that we've invented. And this valve cuts or shears the oil So as I give, as an example only, it's like one oil drop becomes 1,000 different oil droplets. And now those little oil droplets are much more easily water soluble. And the material is much more easily absorbed from it. And we know this for a fact. Nano emulsions are more stable, more water soluble, more bioavailable. We know that in general. So we think we're onto something big here. I can tell you from the 30 phone calls I've made and the 10 or so that I've spent an hour on the phone with, I know we're onto something. I'm very excited about what it's great when you're selling something and it's as good as what we believe the BaroShear K45 is. So that's what's exciting about it. I caution everybody that if we're successful, and I believe we will be, in selling 10 or 11 of these instruments, we need to save one for us. If we're successful, we can't book that revenue this year. It's going to take us 6 to 8 months to build these instruments. It's a long process. The second build is not, but the first build is a very long process. And that means that we will be delivering between January and June next year, and that's when we can book. And that's why the guidance we gave said that we feel that next year our sales will be double what they are this year and last year, because we feel we can sell 10, 11 instruments, and that will be posted as revenue for 2020. I'll go through a few of these and then turn it over to Jeff to see if he'd like to add anything on. Very quickly, Ohio State, U.S. Department of Agriculture, has given us almost $1 million at Ohio State. They said, use that UltraShear technology that you have and see if you can make an instrument that will process 2 liters of milk a minute. They want milk that's going to be highly stable for months on end, will be sterile, and can be shipped at room temperature and then opened up and drunk or chilled or what you want. This is very similar to the Parmalats and the other heat-treated milks in Europe and elsewhere in the world, except most people will say they don't drink that because it tastes awful. Why does it taste awful? Heat destroys proteins. Proteins give it its flavor and its texture. So you want to keep heat away from anything like milk. So we pasteurize at very low temperatures for a short period of time. So certainly heat is something we want to get away from. We don't generate a lot of heat, and when we do generate heat with UltraShear, we capture that heat very quickly and dissipate it. So USDA agreed with us. They're funding us. We're working with Ohio State. It's a great working relationship. They're doing all the chemistry, all the analytical work. We have access to all those data. The system we built for them is very similar to the BaroShear system. It's different but very similar. So everything we learn at Ohio State, we're going to be able to look and say, will this make our BaroShear better? Different temperatures, different flow rates, different pressures, et cetera. All the work that we're doing that's being funded by the USDA, what is the difference between milk and liquid cheese and oil that contains CBD? Not a lot of difference. It's a liquid that we need to put through this process. So we're excited. It's moving along. We've got 3 more years to work with our friends and colleagues at Ohio State. I've already mentioned that we've expanded the BaroFold services. We've brought in new equipment. We've learned. We've developed some internal methods. And now we have 2 very large companies that have come to us to see if we would work with them. And this is something we think will continue to grow. The limitation there is not the number of companies. There are dozens and dozens of companies that are developing protein drugs. We need to build and expand our lab to accommodate if we start getting more than 2. And the last thing I have in the press release is our core suite of our standard pressure cycling technology or constant pressure instruments. And at the June conference of the American Association for Mass Spectrometry, Dr. Tom Conrads, who's a nationally acclaimed protein chemist, who's working in an area of pathology using a method called laser capture microdissection, he presented data that helps support the fact that he's using our system in the work he's doing, and he's saying that our system, our Barocycler system, plays a critical role, in his words, in helping to have them profile through laser capture microdissection cancer tumor tissue samples that they're studying. They're taking a laser and taking them out of tissue samples, and they're using us once it's out to process it. And he stood up now at several meetings and talked about how critical our instrument is to that, and that bodes well for us down the road. And lastly, scientists at Tennessee State, we all know about the Listeria, the E. coli, the other foodborne issues that are constantly occurring, and there are groups out there that are using our instrument to see if it can be used to try to prevent some of these by maybe testing up front. And so there are some good data on food safety using one of our pressure instruments called the Hub. So those are things that are happening now. They mean revenue now. They mean revenue next quarter and the quarter after. When you get to ultra shear and CBD, the low-hanging fruit, you're talking about potentially a lot of revenue in 2020 and beyond. So it gets me as a CEO here very, very excited that all of a sudden we seem to be getting close to that so-called tipping point, and it's very exciting for us. So, Jeff, if you want to add briefly to anything I said?
Well, you covered a lot, Rick. And
I did.
The excitement is very clear. You know, I might take just a moment. I have commented on some of this on prior occasions, but we have a lot of people on the call that may not know me and the point of view. I'll just note that my relationship with Pressure Bio goes back a lot of years, past a dozen years. Discovered them exhibiting at a biotech conference and thought they might be useful for an intractable problem we were facing in one of my companies. We tried it out. It was miraculous doing something in sample prep that no other technology could do. It led to a series of growing agreements and collaborations with them. Ultimately, I was excited to be able to bring investor support to them, at a critical time in the financial downturn, 08 to 10, joined the board at that time, and then a year later began to chair the board, which I've been doing for some time. My background, as Rick mentioned, is chemical engineering degrees. And when I first saw this technology, I have to tell you, a really big penny dropped for me. And I looked at it and thought we had all kinds of future opportunities outside of the sample prep that was going on initially. We have seen how sample prep applications have gotten tremendous traction, easily 150 scientific peer-reviewed papers, and leaders that are speaking on behalf of the technology and the traction that we're gaining on several fronts there. It's really just limited, I think, by our capital resources to expand team and build instruments fast enough for that. But what was particularly exciting to me was seeing how this pressure technology foundation did find its extensions into new areas, and the company now has now become a three-platform company with the pressure cycling, sample prep applications, and so on. The barrelfold technologies in protein refolding and disaggregation, which opens up enormous opportunities, particularly in the biopharmaceutical development and manufacturing and quality control arena. A really enormous opportunity, bigger probably than pressure cycling technologies by a significant amount. And then finally, this new platform area in ultra shear, our ability to create nanoemulsions that will address things that as mundane as, paints and lubricants at one end of the spectrum, but all kinds of very high-value applications in nutritionals, and/or biotech products, and fundamental food bev kinds of applications. And CBD is, frankly, just a screamingly obvious opportunity for us to lead with, and we're very excited about the initial traction there. But the ultra shear area is bigger than barrelfold, which in turn is bigger than pressure cycling in our minds, and we just are incredibly excited about the outlook for the company.
So I thanks, Jeff, and I'll just we'll turn it over to Q&A in about 30 seconds. I as you were speaking, I thought about the example because I know a lot of people like just everyday examples. So an example of Ulta Sheer is when you next put on your favorite raspberry vinaigrette onto your salad and you shake it like crazy to try to mix it before it goes on and you say darn, because when you put it on it's already separated. Ulta Sheer is the type of technology that we can put that through our system and end up with a single fluid that will taste probably as good, if not better, than it tastes. It'll be one fluid because we will take liquids that don't normally mix, and we'll treat them to a point where they will mix oil and water, oil and vinegar and water, things like that. So that's an example. But right now, the best example we have is CBD. I couldn't even spell CBD a year and a half ago. I had no idea what CBD was. Now I'm becoming a believer that it certainly has some positive medicinal effects. I think science has to get involved here, but it's clear that it certainly has some positives. I have family and friends who have told me that, and neighbors. But it's like taking a 600 milligrams of Excedrin because you need three 200 milligram tablets. But I come to you and say, you got a headache, here's 60 milligrams. It probably won't help you, the 60 milligrams. You need 600, but you're only going to get 60. That's what happens with CBD. It is not very water-soluble right now in its current form, and we believe we can make it very water-soluble, very stable, and thus it should be very bioavailable. And every call I make, it starts with the person being incredulous, like, I've heard this before, Rick, I've heard it before. And when I describe how we do it and I bring them to the videos, I can't get them off the phone. So anyway, Christy, let's open this up for a Q&A.
Thank you, Rick. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad to join the queue. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to provide the best sound quality. And we'll take our first question from Jay Hetrick with J. Charles Assets.
Rick, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hi, Jay.
Congratulations on the three units, the BaroShear units that you sold. It's encouraging to see that happen so quickly. And that is what my question was based on, trying to break it down. Let's just say with these 12 units of the BaroShear system, what would that equate to as far as revenue dollars, just hypothetically speaking?
The system lists at let's call it $200,000 to make it easy. It's right close to that. But when you add peripherals, it'll probably be above it because there are some peripherals, some consumables here. So call it $200,000. So if we decided to sell all 12 and continue to use our prototype, that would be $2.4 million, or call it $2.5 million with peripherals. So 12 units that we're committed to build that we're now trying to pre-sell is about $2.5 million. And I think most people on the phone know that we didn't even do $2.5 million. We did very close to $2.5 million last year from our PCT business. Next year, we'll have the 12 units, and we'll have BaroFold and PCT.
So speaking on that, going to next year, the year 2020, do you have an outlook for these machines? Could we see double that? Could we even see perhaps 36 units?
That's an intriguing question. I'll be careful in what I say here because I have not given guidance on that, Jay, so I've got to be careful. What I've said is we're building 12. If I had my druthers, I'd build four. Because you're doing something for the first time, it's inefficient, et cetera. But we're going to build 12, and we're committed to it. And those 12 will be built in this year, and they will be installed between January and June, hopefully closer to January than June. I've never been asked, nor have I ever talked about the possibility of, I guess what you're asking me is, would we consider selling more, or do we think we could sell more next year than the 12 we're building
right
this year for early next year? let me answer it this. I'm not going to give you any guidance on this. What I'll tell you is I believe that there are dozens upon dozens upon dozens upon dozens of companies that will benefit by using our instrument or an instrument like ours, which we don't think there is in the market right now, anything like ours. Ours is custom-built and made by one of the top brains in all of high pressure in the world, our Dr. Ting. And so let's just say a lot will come from, I enjoy being a sales guy, and I'm calling people, and I'm learning a lot, but if I end up, you know, calling 30 people, and I've got 12 instruments to sell, and I got people, I got 20 of them that want to buy it, then I have a decision to make, don't I? But right now, we're committed to making 12, and I believe that the market in cannabis, in CBD particularly, is very big for our instrument, and that I believe in time we will work to satisfy that need, which I think is much more than 12. But I'm not committing now to selling or building any more than 12 for next year. But if you're asking me, could we? The answer is yes, we could. We just haven't made that decision. We're being a little bit conservative here because these are pretty expensive instruments. It's going to cost $750,000 at least to build these 12. And let's see how it goes. But if it goes well, and once we've built the first 12, the next 12, the next 24, the next 30, whatever it is, will be much easier, faster, and less expensive to build. That we know. The other thing, Jay, I had mentioned is we're building a demonstration lab, GMP-grade demonstration lab here in our building. It's almost done. It will be done within a week. We've already purchased a huge pump, a 40-horsepower pump. It requires tons of extra electricity from the street. We already have, when we bought Barrifold, we bought a lot of these pressure tanks. So we have pressure tanks that go up to 10 liters. We have a lot of people here that are chomping at the bit because within a couple of weeks, we're going to start running some very large volumes through. This is on paper the instrument that will do 2 liters a minute of milk and could do 2 liters a minute of just about anything. So what we're excited about is over the course of the next few weeks to months, we hope to be able to invite people in from anywhere to not only see the Barrishear in action in our demonstration lab, but also the industrial scale instrument. This instrument will be far more expensive, but it will do, you know, it'll do in minutes what the others does in an hour. And some people, if they have a big bottling contract or big food contract, they may need it. And we think we can build it, and we actually are building it. So I didn't answer you directly. I think the market is bigger than 12. Could we make and sell more? Yes. Will we? Let's answer that question in the future. But you can do the math.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Thanks for the insight.
And our next question comes from Anthony Gullo, a private investor.
Hi. I have a question in terms of your interest expense. It looks like you expensed $1,074,000 for the 3 months, and I'm looking at the total liabilities, which is in excess of $10 million. So my question is, what are we actually paying in interest rates, and how are we going to fund the current liabilities?
Yeah. Everything, Anthony, nice to hear from you, although it's a tough question. Everything's in the queue, all the interest rates and everything's in the queue. We've received in the last year about $4 million in equity, true equity, into a preferred stock that's also talked about in many of our filings. Our balance sheet, Anthony, 2 years ago, August of 2017, had no debt on it, zero debt. The bank we hired failed to raise us $12 million. They said we'll do a pipe, So for the next 3 or 4 months, we had to borrow money. The only money we could get is high interest rate money. We're talking interest rates that are, you know, 15 to 30%. And then we had to last until May of 2018, almost a year, where we had no money coming in from equity, and we applied many places for reasonable loans. We didn't get any. So the only loans we could get were to get these high interest rate loans, and we did. And so we have we took about $4 million in loans over that year. All right, Anthony, from August of 2017 to May of 2018, 10 months. We took about $4 million in around 4.2. You can go back in the queue and see around 4.2 million in loans. In the last year, we've increased that to 5.2. The value of the equity coming in has allowed us to significantly reduce the amount of borrowing in these very high interest rate debentures that we've had to take. So the amount of debt, it's gone up. It's gone up $1 million roughly in the last year from around 4.2 to 5.2. The goal is to, you know, there is nobody that wants to stop taking these loans more than me. I think if you look in the queue, you'll see for the first time the auditors wanted it there. I've had to personally guarantee about $1 million of these loans we've taken. And the only way I could get that money. So what are we going to do? First thing we got to do is we've got to increase the amount of equity that's coming in so that we don't even have to take the million in the next year that we took over the last year. The second thing we got to do is we got to get our revenue up, and we got to get profitable. So obviously there's two ways to pay this debt off. And this debt, the financing this debt, and I've told many people this, it costs us as much in every 3 months to finance our debt as it does to grow our company. We put as much into financing the debt every month than we do into building our company. But it's not through choice. I mean, the only choice we had was this is the only money available to us. Now, especially with UltraShear, my expectation is that, and I can tell you just from the interest of the last 3 weeks, I've met more investors, I've met more people who are interested in the company than I have, honestly, in the last year or two. UltraShear has caught the fancy. So the goal here is we have to be successful with UltraShear. It's a $200,000 instrument, and you can do the math. We have 350 of our barocycler instruments out in the world. 350. That barocycler is about a $42,000 average selling cost instrument compared to $200,000 on the UltraShear. And the larger system that people are asking me about is seven figures. I don't know where in seven figures, but it's seven figures. So I decided as a CEO to pull six or seven people of our 12 off what they were doing part-time pretty much and put them on getting the UltraShear done, because I thought that this might be the answer, and I still believe more than ever it's the answer. Now, we have to be successful. I need to sell these 12 instruments over the next few weeks, and I believe I will. We then need to take that money and start paying down our debt and to stop borrowing our debt. And then we have to look at, should we be building more instruments? Should we be putting more effort into UltraShear and particularly BaroShear? And as Jeff pointed out, CBD is probably the smallest market that our BaroShear instrument can go into. It's a somewhere between a $20 and $80 billion market if you consider just CBD or all cannabinoids. And it's the smallest market. It doesn't hold a candle to pharmaceuticals, nutraceuticals, cosmetics, industrial paints and liquids and oils. So you bring up a good point, Anthony.
Does it have application analogies?
It has applications and allergies in that it is a delivery system. When people with allergies, for instance, I talked to somebody yesterday who owns a pharmaceutical company that has millions of dollars in sales, and he's getting into cannabis. And he was very, very cautious in the beginning. At the end, he was like, I can't wait to talk to you again. Send me all that information. Why? Because he has a delivery system of his nutrients, of his nutraceuticals, some of which are being used for allergy, as I understand it, when I went on his website. And he understands that if you can turn some of his products into nano-emulsions and deliver them through mists and sprays, they have a much better chance of being absorbed, higher absorbed than they do now. So he's interested in cannabis, but he's also interested because he owns a pharmaceutical company that does mostly nutraceuticals.
So you
Jeff,
have
Rick, I don't know if you want to add to that.
This is Jeff. I was just going to add on to what Rick was saying. There has been a tremendous amount of medical device innovation focus on drug delivery through mists and sprays and so on over the last 20 years, if not longer. Much of which I have seen out here in California. The challenge in so much of that is to properly disperse the different ingredients down to small enough particle sizes and droplet sizes and distributions and or addressing these miscibility problems, the ability to dissolve different things in each other so that it gets into the nose or into the body, wherever it's going, at a tiny enough size to give you that absorption and bioavailability that's needed, our capability to pre-prepare it in a nano-emulsion where it's already suitable for that kind of absorption and bioavailability allows for, a much simpler, easier task in terms of administration, potentially. And we think that is an enormous opportunity in the pharmaceutical arena.
Okay, terrific. Good luck, gentlemen.
Thank you, Anthony.
All right, bye.
And there appear to be no further questions at this time, so I will turn it back to you, Rick, for any.
Well, Christy, can you? I know it's run on, but once or twice I've gotten emails later, someone saying they just couldn't get on. So let's give it 30 seconds, and just see if anybody pops on. Because I feel bad when they email me tonight and say, I had a question, but it ended too fast. But it sounds like there may not be any.
Yeah, just a reminder, it is a star one on your telephone keypad if you wanted to ask a question.
Okay, so I'd be happy to close it here. I first want to close by thanking Jeff for taking time. He's a very busy guy, and I know personally he's got a lot on his plate, and to take time to share with us his thoughts, I really do appreciate. I know that I've had a number of calls, not hundreds or even dozens, but I've had calls from a lot of people who are very concerned about the stock and concerned about the company, and I have to say that I have, and they'll probably get mad at me for this, but two of my key guys here are more pessimistic than optimistic most of the time. And I was talking to both of them the same day, totally separately, last week, and I said the same thing to them. I said, I feel more excitement and more opportunity and more chance that we are really near that inflection point than I have in years. And to my astonishment, the two of them said, Rick, I feel the same way. And I went, oh, my gosh, this is terrific. So I really do. Jeff does, as he's expressed. We have an amazing technology that has to be proven, and I can't wait to prove it because I think it's going to be tremendous out there, our bearish year. We're building the first commercial unit. We have the prototype. And I'm just excited because I'm blessed to have the opportunity to be the guy that's calling the guys out there that are making the CBD and telling them what we have. And, you know, 90% of the time it starts off very slow, very cold, and within a few minutes it warms up. And I tell them all, just go on our website. We make products that are used by Merck, Lilly, Pfizer, Monsanto, Bristol Myers Squibb, FBI, FDA, CDC, USDA, Harvard, Stanford, UCLA, Cedars-Sinai, and more and more and more. And then we get outside and go to Asia and Europe and Oceania, and we've got customers there too. So, and that sort of gives them the confidence that we know what we're doing, because we do. So I'm not happy with the poor sales of the last two quarters. I do anticipate that to change in the third and fourth in our PCT business. I am happy about the sales of Barrifold and UST. I'm extremely excited about both of those areas and about the potential to bring in dollars today, this quarter, next quarter, not 2 years from now. And I'm more excited about the prospects of Pressure Bio, but as Anthony, now than I have been in years and years, I am. But as Anthony brought up, it drives me crazy. It frustrates me more than most things in life when I look at the amount of money I have to pay in interest to pay and finance the debt, and I wish I was putting that into operations. That will come. That will come from us becoming profitable and us increasing our revenue and hopefully more equity coming in than has come in over the past year. And we'll pay off that debt, and everybody will look at us and say, oh, another overnight success. And that's okay. We'll take that. We just want to be that success. So thanks, everybody, for joining. Jeff, thanks for taking the time. And if there's a groundswell, I'm going to have to draft you to be on this probably more often than once every 2 years. And thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your summer, and we'll talk in November.
Thanks, Rick. Thank you all.